Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
This program exists to identify, to make a prayer needs known, so that you who are listening can be involved in the greatest work in all the world, and that's the message of Jesus Christ. So thank you for listening to Exploring Missions. This is Bert Harper along with Nathan. Nathan, it's good to be with you.
Yeah, great to be with you again.
It's been a while since we've done a recording. Now, how we do this, just to let you know, when we get to go to the National Religious Broadcasters meeting, we really try to record 12 to 14 different programs there because we have people from around the world right there in one spot.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit more convenient to capture all the conversations in one place and time.
It does. And so, to be honest, this is the first recording that we've done since the NRB, and we're excited about the individual that we're going to be able to talk with. And how we came in contact with him, Nathan, is through Tim Wildman, our president. He left a message that David Morton had left with him, and he said, "Bert, this would be a good interview for Exploring Missions." So when Tim said that, guess what? We've made that contact. So, David Morton, thank you for joining us on Exploring Missions.
Well, it's a delight to be here. Thank you for that accolade. And we'll just give all the glory to God because that's where it all belongs.
It really does. And if we get any, we need to pass it on. I've learned that. Well, you're the Ministry Advancement Director of Favor International. So we want to know a little bit about you yourself concerning your ministry with them, and then let us know more about Favor International itself. But start with yourself and how you came into contact with this ministry.
Well, that's great. Well, we'll back up to 1988 when I came to Jesus as the late 20-year-old, and I found the Lord was so on my side, and he wanted to make me a fisher of men. In 1993, with my wife, we moved to the Middle East to preach the gospel among the people of that region. And the Lord blessed us abundantly. And on top of that, we ended up having three children. So praise the Lord. They're all born over there, but, you know, they're all hardcore Americans. And even my daughter, she's serving in the Army. So praise God.
Okay.
So we've been serving the Lord among the peoples of this great religion. Great meaning, really huge and impressive and all that it brings to the world and its peoples. But there are keys in it, and we found many of those keys to be very productive for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ among them. And they listen and they respond. And so praise God for that. A few years back, I was working with Billy Graham. My initial start was with the Navigators. And then I switched for 1 year over to Billy Graham to help develop a work in New Zealand. And then when I came back, we switched horses one more time. And Favor International was looking for someone who was both a businessman and a missionary. And I carry both those hats. And so by God's grace, they hired me to do the development for them and to assist in advancement in different categories. Meaning, you know, what are areas where we can really move the needle? Carol Ward, the founder of Favor International, absolute missionary, visionary. In my observation, one of the finest missionaries on the planet today. And she's doing great work, and we're seeing huge, huge progress. Just last year alone, 195,000 people came to Jesus. And so that's a pretty good number. And that's among 1,500 indigenous missionaries. So the numbers keep growing every year, but I got involved because it's a movement of the gospel. And my heart is to see the north of Africa, along with Carol and Terry and all the other people on our staff, mostly Africans, mostly meaning 98% plus, all want to see the north of Africa come to Jesus.
Amen. Thank you for sharing a little bit of your story with us, David. And we want to hear more about you and as well as Favor International. Let me first just mention that our own J.J. Jasper here at American Family Radio did an interview for us on Exploring Missions maybe a couple years back with Carol. And for our listeners, if you'll go back and check out our podcast, it's an incredible story just to hear her passion for the Lord and how God is using her. David, we know God is using you as well. But tell us about Favor International. You mentioned the 195,000 people coming to know Jesus. And did you say, is that just in the last year? Is that what you said?
Yes, just 2025, that was the harvest. And the harvest is so much greater. It's millions of souls should we be able to share the gospel with them. Since the inception, Carol and her team, these are documented people. This is people that we know have come to Christ through our work. I think our number is 720,000 souls have been saved, and that's quite a work in my humble observation. So that's a huge, huge dent in the challenge of darkness, and I thank God for the opportunity. We're just growing like fast. Just 2022, we had 230 evangelists who would go, they're all Africans, would go into the field and preach the gospel through something called the Portable Bible School. And I'm happy to unpack that. But the fact is, now we have more than 900. And many of those are Muslim background brothers who have come to Jesus, given up their lives and their families and everything else, if they haven't brought them with them. And they have decided to follow Jesus. So that hymn that we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. I tell you what, that's a real thing when you're a Muslim coming into faith with Christ and you leave your family and be persecuted. So the Lord has blessed abundantly their heart and vision for the people. So in the end, what do we see? We don't just see the lost and the unengaged and the unreached and the oppressed from the nations that we work in, but we also are serving in communities to develop kingdom-thinking young people, so orphans and anti-trafficking operations, helping the women and doing encouragement among the very desperate. And so we're doing James chapter 1, verse 17, you know, take care of widows and orphans in their times of need and keep yourself undefiled from the world. Well, we're doing our best. And the Lord is really blessing us with the true fast out of Isaiah. You might recall that.
When I hear this, David, I want to go back. Indigenous missionaries. Nathan, several years ago when we were on staff together, we went to a meeting of our denomination, both of us Southern Baptists, and they said we found out why ours wasn't effective, and it was because they weren't training indigenous people as severely as they should, as I say, as advancing as they should. Isn't that one of the keys, Nathan?
Yeah, absolutely. And you see that in the Bible. It's not a new concept. It's actually a biblical principle. And I do have a question about those. I think you mentioned about 900 or so brothers and sisters who are indigenous missionaries there in Africa. How much cross-cultural work does the average national worker do there? Do they stay within the confines of their language group or tribal group, or are they moving around quite a bit as well?
Great question. When you look at the region where our people are reaching out, it's about the same size as the USA. And we're working in 100 different languages. So cross-cultural could be across the street here in the USA or even your neighbor. Over there, it's not a great deal different, but it might be the next village over where they may speak another language. And so what they have, which is fairly prevalent, people speak multiple languages, many. And in fact, some speak five and six and more just to get by in life, because in each village, they may speak a different dialect or have different words for descriptions on things. And when you get into unreached, unengaged, or very remote peoples, it's not even written. I mean, it's not even a written language. I did meet with two of those tribes when I was there in 2024, and they didn't even have a written language, and yet they spoke it. But they also spoke the local language, and a few of them, a very few, spoke some English, some. Cross-cultural is what we're doing all the time as we reach out to another people. And frankly, if it's a Christian missionary, a Christian background missionary reaching out to a Muslim, that's cross-cultural as well. And so we're looking at the great melting pot of God's mosaic in seeing tremendous spiritual movement, because the Holy Spirit goes before our brothers and sisters and drives these people to have interest in the man Jesus and in the gospel, the written word of God.
You know, when I was looking on your website, by the way, the website is favorinternational.org.
F-A-V-O-R-I-N-T-L. So don't spell out the whole word.
Okay.
So favorintl.org.
You can go to that website and you'll find history. You'll find where they're serving. And that's what I want to concentrate on right now. You're at least in 14 African countries. But I noticed on the website, looking at the future places, you guys are looking to go into other places, other countries. They're close by, aren't you?
Yes, indeed. In fact, if you look at the very eastern side of where we're currently serving, that would be Ethiopia and Kenya. And on the very western side, we're in Niger and Nigeria. Well, the neighbors on both sides of that. So on the eastern side, you've got Somalia and Eritrea. And on the western side is Mali and Burkina Faso. So for all you geographic brilliant people, or those who aren't, just get yourself a map and look how far away those are from each other. It's a long way. It's time zones. And the fact of the matter is, these are very unreached areas where there are few Christians in Somalia. And we've heard plenty about that in these last couple of years. But what we're working on is less about politics and a whole lot more about helping people come to Jesus.
So, David, you mentioned some of the nations, some of the countries where Favor International is working and serving. And I've looked at some of the maps that you might be focused in. And in the news recently, really over the last few years, actually, the country of Sudan and even South Sudan, but more specifically, the region of Darfur in Western Sudan, there's just tremendous difficulty and challenge. And what some have said is the greatest humanitarian crisis in the world right now is occurring there. Can you tell us anything about some of the work that may be either there or nearby with those people there?
Oh, you bet. But let's call a spade a spade. This is genocide, and they are slaughtering hundreds of thousands of people. And over the last couple of years, it's been well over 200,000 people have been eliminated from this existence. But their souls, whether they knew Jesus or not, you know, it's the Lord's control when it's in that circumstance. But we work with the people of the diaspora of that region, and that could be internally displaced people. That's IDP. Or externally displaced people, they go international. So the camps, the refugee camps that are around Sudan, some are in South Sudan, many are in Chad, about 1.4 million are in Chad itself, and we have a similar number in South Sudan, and they're all along the borders. So we go to those camps with our evangelism teams. We send them out two by two, just like it says in the Bible. And we pray for them. Our whole ministry, everything we've done, is based on prayer. Jesus says, pray constantly. And as he went, he prayed. And at night, he'd go up on a mountain and pray. You guys know all that stuff. But fact is, if we pray with his passion and fervor and ask and seek and knock, the Lord opens the door, even among very dark receivers. And those camps, which are around the regions, and also in Kenya and in Ethiopia, we go to those places and set up opportunity to preach the gospel and do what we call trauma counseling, which is really deliverance ministry and helping people become free from... Everybody's been traumatized over there. They've seen their families murdered. They've seen their husbands murdered. They've had to flee from everything that they knew, which was normal, to a place where there's no water, no safety, no government. It's a really traumatic experience. Think about it. If we didn't have running water, we'd probably have a real problem here in America.
David, you mentioned something, and I noticed Nathan underlined it as well, and that's the portable Bible school. I was noticing the numbers on that increasing each and every year. Would you expand on the portable Bible school, how it works, and the growth of that and what it's accomplishing?
Sure, sure. So when Carol got her start in 2002 down in, just off the shores of Lake Victoria, some village out there, she was called by the Lord to go where no one else wanted to go. And the Lord encouraged her greatly to go to the north. And she heard the call and she obeyed. And so she prayed and prayed and went north. And they had given her this little book from the evangelism resources people out of, I think it's Wilmer, Kentucky. They do a great work, and they allowed her to use that book again and again, hundreds of thousands of times, as she has taught that many people the foundations of the Christian faith from Genesis to Revelation, and the elements of who you are and how we live in Christ and what a family of the kingdom looks like and how we ought to relate to one another. So all of that's in the portable Bible school. And we've designed it with, well, we've used it with about 120 hours of Bible study in about a three-month period. And they'll get together. First, they do trauma counseling, and then they do the portable Bible school. So we have trained leaders, and so all of our evangelists are trained to lead the portable Bible school process. So it's two of them. They go out and they pray, and then they open up an opportunity through open evangelism, and then they bring a few people by God's grace to Jesus, and then they work on that with trauma counseling. Everybody that goes through the portable Bible school actually has to win other souls to Jesus in order to graduate from the class. And they get a certificate, which is pretty cool. If you've never been to school or never had a certificate of accomplishment, it's a big deal to get a piece of paper and a handshake and a Bible. That's a pretty cool day. Anyway, we do that at the end, but in order to get it, they've got to go through the process of learning verses, memorizing verses, and winning souls to Christ. And they go through a transformation discipleship process, and they are new people by the time they're done with that class, and they're equipped to go out and share the gospel with everybody around them. Here's a question for everybody. If we came to Jesus yesterday and then jumped right into a class and started learning, and in 3 months we took 4 or 5 hours a day and did it over 3 months, we'd know a whole lot. The one thing that we don't have here in America, like they do in Africa, is time. We have watches and we keep time, but over there they've got plenty of it to give.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, we talk about sometimes here on this program how in making disciples, you're looking for people who are FAT, F-A-T, faithful, available, and teachable. And sometimes here in America, the A, the availability piece, is the hardest to come by. And
that's a huge amen, brother.
Well, the portable Bible schools, that sounds like it's like the greenhouse, if you will, the place where leaders and maybe indigenous national workers are planted. Is that where you're seeing new workers come out of these portable Bible schools after they graduate and receive their certificate? Are some of those brothers ready to go on to new fields? Is that how it works?
That's a giant amen. They come on board, and some of them that are really passionate, they want to go out and serve. They want to become a missionary. They want to be a leader. Some become pastors. Some become evangelists. Some become teachers. And we educate the children. We do what's called a village learning center. We do women's empowerment as a result of the portable Bible school. We help transform the culture. We plant a fellowship and we anoint a leader just like it is in the Bible. And we find people transforming the cultures. Our tagline is transform hearts, transform nations. And it's a fact. If all the people that we ever knew were transformed by the blood of Christ and they got a new heart, took out the heart of stone and the Lord gave them a heart of flesh and the Holy Spirit, that would totally transform the nation. And that's exactly what we do.
You know, another thing I saw on your website, and again, we're talking to David Morton. He's the Ministry Advancement Director for Favor International. They have their own website, and you can find that, and it has a lot of information. And one of those, too, that I noticed, and it got my attention, one of them, you guys are working on some radio stations. Are they solar powered? Is that what I understand?
Well, that sure is the objective. if we run them on solar, they might stay on all the time. But we do a great job of having a pretty solid reach. Northern Uganda, the work that we're doing there is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we may be the number one radio station in Uganda. And so it's pretty crazy up there in Gulu, Uganda, if you looked it up on a map. We have a listenership of millions, 3 million, 4 million people. And if we put up new towers, then we'll get more. And so praise the Lord for that. We have another one, a different language, up in Gulu, South Sudan. And that one's reaching out to a similar number of people, but we definitely want to get out farther yet. So putting up those towers makes a difference. And we're just now establishing a new radio station in Chad, in Jemena, Chad. Starts with an N, has a D, and then there's a J. So Jemena, Chad. And so that radio station is not broadcasting yet. But boy, are we excited to do that. We could use a little help getting that done. So call me.
Okay. People hear this and they said they're excited about it. How would they? Could they contact you through the website?
They certainly can. There's all kinds of dots and buttons to push to give. But in all sincerity, if they need to get in touch with me or any of the other representatives around the country, we're happy to reach out to them. The amount of excitement that's going on. This is the first radio station in Chad that's a Christian, a dedicated 24/7 Christian radio station. We will have a tremendous amount of people coming to Jesus. It's our air power because the people over there still use the radio. It's their way of communicating. And, turn your radio on. Listen to the music in the air. Let the Lord do the work, and he will do it through the spoken word on the radio.
Amen. Well, David, as we get ready to close this conversation that really has flown by, honestly, we think about Favor International and the tremendous, holistic and many avenues of ministry that's going on in this work. Many different African countries, all the portable Bible schools. You mentioned radio stations. I'm seeing a list here of economic empowerment, medical ministry, church planting, prayer movement. Can you give us maybe one or two prayer needs that kind of just focus us in? How can we pray for you, pray with you, and Favor International?
Yeah, that's great. We continue to have a need for safety in our travels and coming and going. And we ask in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit will go before our prayed for missionary, that those doors, hearts, and opportunities are opened up. Two things that are really important. And another piece of the puzzle is that the Lord would provide all that we need to continue to see this movement. It's a movement of God. You know, it's defined by 1,000 or more places of worship established. I think that's missiology talking. But we're up to 4,135 right now, and by the end of the year, we'll be over 4,500.
Awesome. So it's a movement by any way you look at it, and it's a move of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we want to pray about. So praying for protection in the ministry, as a lot of people are moving around doing different things in difficult places, praying for basically like Paul, open doors for the workers, that the Lord would go before them, and then provision. So we want to join with you in those prayers.
One more thing, I noticed this, and we have about a minute and a half left. The Arabic translated Bible course, that got my attention. In other words, I know there's a lot of Muslims in that area. Is this having an effect as well?
Sure. So absolutely, the Word of God in their own language makes a huge difference. And Arabic has been available for many years, thousands of years, actually. But the fact of the matter is mentioned in the Bible in Acts. So the fact is, when we give the gospel to our Muslim friends and we share with them who Christ is, not only from the Quran, but who he is in the Bible and who he is in their hearts when they accept him, man, the whole world opens up. So not just Arabic, but 100 different languages. We are seeing God move through his word. And it's a privilege to use Arabic to do it.
Amen. Nathan, this interview is amazing.
Yeah, it really is. I want to hear more and more, but I'm going to be like you as you listen. Let's go to the website, favorintl.org. Today, we've had the privilege of speaking with David Morton with Favor International. So I want to encourage you as you've listened today to be in prayer for David and for Favor. Pray for Favor, for Favor, and the work they do. And in all seriousness, it's a tremendous work. It's a work that only God can do. So how would he have you involved? Through prayer, through giving, through being obedient as God is sending you. We thank you so much for listening today to Exploring Missions.